What's up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Network of Podcasts, your team every day. In today's episode, we'll be talking about Luis Severino's bounce-back start in Chicago last night, and we'll look ahead to the Ranger series that begins tonight in the Bronx. I'd like to apologize for my error yesterday. I said that the Yankees would be playing in Arlington, but they're playing in the Bronx. So, sorry. Anyway, let's talk about Severino. He needed that start last night. And while it still wasn't on par with his better performances during the season, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Although things got off to an inauspicious start when he allowed two runs in the bottom of the first, and everyone was thinking, oh no, here we go again. But in the bottom of the second, no, top of the second, excuse me, the Yankees scored six runs thanks to Giancarlo Stanton's grand slam, which was his first since 2014 against Seattle. And after that, Severino settled down and retired 11 in a row before Tim Anderson tagged him for a solo shot in the bottom of the fifth. Sevy got into a little bit of trouble in his last inning, but got out of it without surrendering a run. And he went seven innings, gave up three runs. Not bad. And, you know, like I said, the offense did help him out a bit, but still, compared to his previous five starts, this was a much better showing. And what was working for him last night was his slider. He threw 45 sliders, and they produced 11 whiffs, which is his season high so far. As for the rest of the game, the bottom of the ninth was pretty exciting when Bruce Streckman, second base umpire, had a moth fly into his ear. The game had to be delayed until he got it out of his ear, and Steve Donahue, the Yankees trainer, was able to help him. And he did, and the moth was alive and flew away. You know, do you guys remember that happening to Matt Holliday a few years back? This was actually more than a few years back. I believe it happened during a playoff game against the Dodgers. I think that was the same series where he missed a ball and it hit him in his crotch also. I mean, I could be conflating two different series, but anyway, it was shades of Matt Holliday last night with that moth incident. So with the 7-3 lead that the Yankees had, Jonathan Holder pitched a scoreless ninth, and the Yankees won their third in a row, and Severino picked up his 15th win of the year. Now, this series was an important one for the Yankees. And I know, they played the White Sox, big deal. But after coming off that five-game losing streak and being swept in Fenway and, you know, after the way they lost on Sunday night, you know, coughing up a 4-1 lead and then losing on a walk-off, this was big. It really was. And, you know, the Yankees are now going home on a high note. And, you know, they're keeping pace with the Red Sox, who look like they'll never lose a game again. I'm not exaggerating. They just can't lose. It's unbelievable. So the Yanks come back. They'll be facing the Rangers, who just beat Seattle 2 out of 3 in Arlington. And in those two wins, they scored 22 runs, 11 and 11 on Saturday and Sunday. Let's hope the Yankee pitchers can prevent that from happening. And we have matchups now. Yesterday, I was joking about how three of the four games for the Yankees were listed as to be determined, but they are now determined. So tonight, it'll be Ariel Jurado against J.A. Happ. Jurado is coming into this game with a 4.02 ERA, while Happ has a 4.05 ERA. out of all four matchups, this is the only one where the Rangers starter has a better ERA than the Yankees starter. Then tomorrow night, Friday, Mike Minor will be facing off against Masahiro Tanaka. Minor's ERA is 4.53 and Tanaka is 3.76. On Saturday, Drew Hutchison is pitching against Lance Lynn, and Hutchison's ERA is 6.29 and Lance Lynn is 4.8, but he did have that really good start. So I think the 4.58 reflects his start, which wasn't so great because he also started the season late because of that whole no one signing a free agent thing. And finally, in the finale on Sunday, Martin Perez against CC Sabathia. Perez has a 6.15 ERA and Sabathia has a 3.9 ERA. So I think that means that Severino should be starting the makeup game on Monday against the Mets, against DeGrom. So that could be a good matchup if Severino keeps improving. And, you know, the good news is Hap is healthy again. And he's going to be pitching tonight. So let's hope he pitches as well as he did in his first start as a Yankee. As for the other matchups, you know, they favor the Yankees on paper, but they don't guarantee a series win. Now, I forgot to mention this in yesterday's podcast, and I can't believe I did. But Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar became the first set of Yankee rookies to hit at least 15 home runs in the same season. Torres has 18 overall, and Andujar reached 15 on Tuesday night. Now, that's pretty impressive, considering the rookies that the Yankees have had and any of them coming up together, and that was pretty cool. And I think I'd mentioned that Stanton's Grand Slam was the first one since August of 2014 against Seattle. I think they said it was a walk-off home run, which is pretty impressive. And let me just say that Severino's performance last night was also good because they didn't have to use five guys out of the bullpen to finish the game. They only needed Chad Green and Jonathan Holder. Holder pitched the ninth inning. Green pitched the eighth inning. Green gave up a hit and struck out three. Holder gave up a hit and struck out one. And because of the score, Chapman got another day of rest. So maybe he'll be available tonight against the Rangers. Hopefully he'll need to be used. It would be nice going into the ninth with the lead. Okay, so in this last segment, let's talk about some things that have happened this week that I haven't yet addressed. A few days ago, Michael Kay said something about Clint Frazier and Jacoby Ellsbury's injuries, and it rubbed Clint Frazier the wrong way. How do I explain this? I don't think Kay was being malicious when he said what he said, and he made it seem like they weren't doing enough to get back to playing. And it just so happens that Ellsbury will be out the rest of the year now because he had to get surgery on his hip. So talk about a lost season. He didn't play at all. And every time it sounded like he was coming back, he injured something new. And I guess the hip just, he couldn't do anything with it. So At least the Yankees don't have to worry about him coming back and where to fit him because there's so many people who can play the outfield. And as for Frazier, he responded to Kay on Twitter directly and said, Facetious or not, I don't appreciate what you said today. I'm doing everything I can to get healthy so I can play symptom-free. So steer clear of publicly calling me out for not when we haven't even had one conversation about my concussion this year. And then he tagged it, shame on you, bro. I love these young kids, bro. So, yeah, that happened. Concussions are nothing to sneeze about. I mean, concussions can literally alter your life. It's a brain injury. Your brain is hitting up against your skull. So even just one could mess you up. And, you know, this has been an ongoing thing for a few months now for Frazier. And, you know, to question his work ethic or Kay shouldn't have said anything, even though I don't think, like I said, I don't think he was malicious. It was just a poor choice of wording. And what else can we talk about for the Yankees? It seems like so many things are going on for other teams, like they're trading for people. Mike Fiers went to the A's. Okay, let's talk about this. Another Twitter incident. Mike Fiers is the pitcher who hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face and broke his face. And some Twitter moron tweeted at Fiers telling him to hit Stanton again. And Fiers liked the tweet. Dude, people can see tweets that you like. Like, what the hell is the matter with you? I don't get these guys. I really don't. They say stupid things on Twitter. They like stupid things on Twitter. Although it is pretty funny to see players liking certain kinds of tweets. Like, oh man, who was it? I believe it was a Yankee and I can't remember who it was, but he had an obsession with big butts. And, you know, there are some accounts on Twitter that just post pictures of girls' rotund backsides. I wish I could remember who it was, but, you know, people, of course, exposed him as a liker of big butts. And there's nothing wrong with that. It was just, it's just funny. These guys don't think before they tweet. They don't think before they like tweets. They just don't think. And they need to. They're playing a professional sport. You know, people all over the country know who they are, and they need to be more careful. It's ridiculous. I don't understand them. I really don't. And, you know, a lot of these guys are over 21 years old. You're in your 20s. You know, I did stupid things in my 20s, but nothing like that. I mean, come on. Let's see. Oh, okay. Right now, the Red Sox are on pace to win 114 games, which would tie the Yankees' win record in 1998. And the Yankees right now, for the rest of August, do not play one team with a winning record. They're playing the Rangers, the Blue Jays, the Marlins, the Orioles, and the Tigers. Now, they had problems with Miami. Tanaka had a nightmare of a start in that two-game series that they had earlier in the season. Baltimore, as we know, is a thorn in the Yankees' side. I don't know why. I can't explain it. The Yankees will play teams with losing records in 21 of their next 24 games. And their other three games during that span will come after they play the makeup game against the Mets. And before they play the Blue Jays, they're playing the Rays, who right now are at 500. And they had a little trouble with them too, but in Tropicana Field. This series is in Yankee Stadium. And then when that stretch of easy games comes to an end, the Yankees will be visiting the A's and the Mariners back-to-back. And those two series could be big because those two teams are behind the Yankees in the wild card race. And right now the Yankees are leading Oakland by 4 games in the wild card and 8 games against the Mariners. And the A's and the Mariners have 10 head-to-head meetings remaining. So they're going to cancel each other out, and it's going to make things difficult for one of those teams to catch up to the Yankees. So that should be an interesting... You guys should keep your eyes out for those 10 games, because if the Yankees can't catch up to the Red Sox and they have to play either the A's or Seattle, I would rather them play Seattle. The A's are pretty damn good, and they scare me. And the Yankees had a little trouble with them early in the season before they started even like this stretch of winning all the time. It's so funny how the A's end up doing that. What year was it? 2002 when they went on that crazy like 20 game in a row streak. I don't know. It's so funny because for the most part, when you look at the A's, you know, who on that team is someone that really stands out to you? Think about this. I can't really think of anyone, which is sad. And it could be my East Coast bubble that I live in. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. And the good news is, even though Boston has 114 game pace, the Yankees are on pace to win 102. And it's so funny because the way things have gone over the last like week and a half, you would think that the Yankees were a team below 500 with the way people were reacting. And I'll admit, I was annoyed with the 5-game losing streak and with the way they lost those games in Fenway. It was just frustrating to watch. And they weren't playing like a 102-win team. But they have the second best offense in baseball, and their bullpen ranks third. The rotation is fifth in the AL, but things should get better with Lynn and Happ replacing Sonny Gray and Domingo Herman. And again, Severino, if he's getting back on track, that's a good thing. And CeCe Sabathia bounced back and had a strong start after having a rough patch. So things are good. Things are good right now, even though it may not seem that way. But the Yankees have their destiny in their hands. They have to take care of these teams that do not have winning records. It's important. Because again, like I've said umpteen thousand times, as my mother would say, the difference between first place and second place is how you beat inferior teams. And even the Cubs are having issues with that. They won 2 out of 3 against the Royals, but they were beaten 9-0 last night. It was pretty embarrassing, according to my Cub fan friends. And it seems they're also having issues with teams that aren't good. I think they may have dropped a couple games to the Padres, and they're not good. So it's not just the Yankees. And on that note, I'm going to say adios. You've been listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, and I'm Stacey Gatsoulias. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.